music can mean only one thing. Congressman Adam Kinzinger is on the super celebrity hotline, super political celebrity hotline. And Congressman, all kidding aside, what an seriously terrible week it has been for the United States of America. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, totally. I mean, this is, it's, you know, I wasn't alive in the 60s, but I can tell you, I can't imagine that it felt much worse than what we feel like right now. I mean, it just feels like everybody's in their corners and divided and just throwing things at each other. It's terrible.
Yeah, and it's America. And as we were talking about earlier, there are so many great things that this country has to offer. And I know there are a lot of problems. There's no question. But compared to the rest of the world, these problems are fairly minuscule, right? There's water, there's electricity, there's good sanitation, there's good health care. There is opportunity for people. And yes, there are issues here in terms of law enforcement and reactions within communities. But we have, and I was trying to get to this point a little bit earlier, you know, you have a community here in Chicago that, we just stay here for just a second. Here in Chicago, there are 100 more murders this year than there were last year at this time. 2,100 people have been shot in Chicago this year. You could fill up the Chicago Theater, which is a very large theater, the Chicago Theater, with everyone who has been shot in Chicago so far this year. I mean, this is a serious problem, and it is an epidemic level in the African-American community here in Chicago, and law enforcement has to do its job in those neighborhoods, and it's very hard, and that means stopping people trying to get guns off the street, trying to get involved in situations where their lives will be at risk, and I don't know how to do this without, I mean, obviously, these were bad incidents that happened in Baton Rouge and in St. Paul.
But you heard the Dallas police chief say it, too. And again, I think he's somehow struck the right tone and the right balance in very divisive times. And he said, we're asking cops to do too much in this country because every societal failure falls in the hands of their dealings. Mental health issues, let the cops handle it. You know, everything going on in America is suddenly in their hands. And that doesn't excuse the officers who don't follow policy and act in ways that are wrong, and clearly so. But there's something going on here with this reaction. And the Black Lives Matter is now, you know, you got Giuliani saying, well, all lives matter. And then people get angry at that. And now everyone hates him. And it's so divisive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I actually downloaded a scanner app for my phone, and I listen sometimes to Chicago police. And I would recommend people do this. It's interesting because you hear these heroes, frankly, that, you know, you'll hear the dispatch call out and say, shots fired at this area, and you hear the officer calmly respond that he or she's going there, and then, you know, 4 seconds later, shots fired somewhere else. And and I mean, you just realize, you know, these folks, and yeah, I mean, look, in every profession, there are some bad people. I mean, whether it's somebody stealing that works at Walmart, whether it's a politician, whether it's law enforcement, military, even in heroic, you're always going to have one or two bad apples. We get that. But for the most part, these folks, these men and women, I mean, think about driving to shots being fired. And I thought one of the most probably healing things, if anything could come that was healing out of Dallas, was the lady that talked about, you know, the officers that jumped on top of her to protect her and her children. And you think about that, you know, she was there to protest her concerns peacefully. And then in the middle of this, you had these officers that jumped into action, ran towards the shots, protected people that were there to protest some actions of fellow police officers. And it's really, you know, I think it's those kinds of stories we need to latch on to, because I got to tell you, and I mean, you know, politicians can get some political, you know, leverage by yelling and screaming and taking a side. But this is such a serious moment that I think it takes us all stepping back and saying, what's happening and how in the world do we stop this? Because this is tough.
Right. Well, the conversation has to begin, and an honest conversation has to be had as well, because if you have a conversation that is one sided on either side, frankly, we're not getting anywhere. We're just talking past each other again. Mm-hmm. And from my perspective where I sit, I think that the conversation does have to be had about how it is that there is such mistrust between the African-American community and law enforcement, and law enforcement with the African-American community. And by the way, that's not just white law enforcement. That's just law enforcement writ large. Right. That's a that just is a, you know, as people will often say, this, it's not about white on black, it's about blue on black. Right. Yep. In terms of communities. So that is a question of, you know, how did we get here and how do we get out from here? And how did, because there's people here. And the other issue here, Congressman, and we all know it, there are families who are living in Chicago and neighborhoods like the ones that are, that have such trouble here, exist in a lot of other places in America. And when that happens, when you have that, there are good, hardworking people in those communities who have lived there, maybe second generation, third generation in that community, that's a family-owned home, and they don't want to leave it necessarily, but the neighborhood has deteriorated around them, and they, and maybe even their kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews sometimes get sucked into the call of the streets. And the question then becomes, how do you get out, and how do you protect those people who just want to get up and do their, you know, live their lives peacefully, and they want to go to work, or they want to do whatever it happens to be, however they're making their living, just but they don't want to cause any trouble, and they don't want to be a part of the problem, but they don't know how to be a part of the solution.
That's right. There's a couple things here. In this whole battle, and we'll call it a battle because it seems like it's that right now, no side is going to win. There will be no winner. And I think that's something to keep in mind. So if you have an escalating conflict, you know, the idea that one side of this debate is going to just win is not going to happen. What's going to happen is it's going to continue to escalate as both sides think there's right and there's nobody trying to find the conclusions. But I think there's two sides of things. Number one, when you see a shooting video come out, like in Minnesota, we don't know all the details of that. It was very tragic to see. I've watched it a number of times. Mm-hmm. But I think we have to be careful to jump to conclusions and judgment on why an officer shot. We learned that in Ferguson. But then on the other side, we have to be careful to jump to – I mean, you saw the tweets of a former representative from Illinois that was tweeting some things that were just stirring the pot even more so during the Dallas situation. So – I think both sides have got to say, look, you know, where there's truly bad apples, let's deal with it. But at the end of the day, we're asking law enforcement to put their life on the line. And, you know, some of what you run into, I mean, from what I understand in Chicago, any time, and I think it's something like this, an officer has an interaction with somebody that's African-American, they have to note that and they have to file some kind of a report on it. Well, so what happens is naturally you tend to have less interactions with folks, and maybe you don't take as many guns off the street.
Well, it's anybody. So by the way, it's anybody. The police have contact with anybody. They have to fill out paperwork. They used to have to fill out contact cards, and for a while they had to fill out these very long and exhaustive reports that were almost as about an hour's worth of work after they had actually made contact with a citizen of any type. And now they've changed the rule on that, the standing order on that, to make it a little less onerous. But it's still, and that's one of the things that has been done here to try to create a database that shows that police interaction, it's basically a CYA move. They're trying to show that interaction with police is for legitimate reasons. And
sure.
And because believe me, especially in Chicago, cops in Chicago they don't want to arrest. There's plenty of bad guys to arrest in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't want to take into custody people who are not the problem.
Sure.
They don't have time for it.
With 2,100 shootings, you can imagine,
right.
Plus there's a lot. But I think those contact cards or whatever they're called now in their elongated form are helpful, too. The Hydea Pendleton case was solved because the prior week cops had pulled over a white vehicle that matched that description, which eventually led them to the suspect. It didn't prevent the shooting, but it took a bad guy off the streets. And so you got to remember there's a reason why those things happen as well.
Yeah.
All right.
But
so,
I think, you know, we've got to get to where both sides, you know, in this debate can talk and respect each other's position. And that's
We're not there.
Yeah.
And it feels awful.
I want to ask you about what's coming up here next week. We're going to be the Republican convention in Cleveland. The show takes you there starting a week from today on Monday. And we'll be there through the whatever happens on Thursday. And now it's interesting because Ted Cruz is going to be, it says here, is going to speak in Cleveland. But, you know, Senator Cruz had a lot of, you know, pretty, interesting things to say about Donald Trump over the years.
I'm going to tell you what I really think of Donald Trump. This man is a pathological liar. He doesn't know the difference between truth and lies. He lies practically every word that comes out of his mouth. Donald Trump is such a narcissist that Barack Obama looks at him and goes, dude, what's your problem? The man is utterly amoral. Morality does not exist for him. It's why he went after Heidi directly and smeared my wife. Donald will betray his supporters on every issue.
Quite a pivot there, Congressman,
right.
What'd you say?
It's a pirouette, I think.
Yeah. Look, it'll be interesting what Ted Cruz says. I mean, you know, is it a – you remember the Chris Christie speech of 2012 was widely panned as not very endorsive of Romney. It was more kind of a, I'm Chris Christie, and I approve this message. So it's like, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. You know, is he emphatically supportive of Donald Trump? Is it more of just a discussion about conservative values? I think it's going to be an interesting convention. I'm going to go for a few days to, you know, and because I'm a supporter of the Republican Party. And so it'll be, I think there's going to be probably plenty of news to come out of it, just like you may out of the Democratic convention, too. You know, you have the, in essence, the Sanders and the Clinton folks that'll kind of be going after each other, maybe.
Well, and now, and I know this is the other party, but I'll ask you to comment on it as a political professional. Now you've got Bernie Sanders, who is going to officially endorse Hillary Clinton. Doesn't seem a little late to be doing that? What was he waiting for?
I think we all know. I think he was waiting to see if she was going to get indicted by the FBI. And as you heard the FBI's director's, you know, press conference, it was a very real possibility. And I think that's part of what he was waiting for. I think he wanted to have influence on the platform. But what'll be interesting to watch, and it's a lesson for Donald, is if Hillary now, you know, kind of eats a little humble pie and tries to reach out to the Sanders supporters. And that's kind of where I think Donald Trump needs to go next is, look, there are Republicans like me that are not supportive of him. It's on him to unite the Republican Party. It's not on people that are dissatisfied with him. I mean, keep in mind, this is the guy that threatened that he was going to run if he lost anyway. So, you know, he didn't have a whole lot of party loyalty to start with. So he, as the front runner, as the presumptive nominee, is going to have to unite the Republican Party.
Okay.
How's he doing with that so
far? Yeah, good luck.
I don't know. Some people are coming on.
All right.
But you haven't yet.
You haven't yet?
Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet.
No.
All right. Okay. Not holding out. You're not saying whether it's not an impossibility, but it just has not occurred. Is that a fair way of saying that?
This moment by moment. It's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
So Speaker Ryan has confirmed he's going to appear at the convention, and then you've got the Ted Cruz. Any other notables who have said, yep, I'm definitely going to be there now?
No, I haven't heard of any. I think Don King was being floated around, but I'm not exactly sure.
No, right, a very famed Republican, Don King. That's the thing is, you know, the idea here in prime time is he wants to put celebrities on.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to have winners' night.
Will Tom Brady be there?
No, Tom Brady already said he will not be there. He has a scheduling conflict.
It's too bad.
Were you going to come in for that?
Well, I'm coming in anyway. I have to be there. I might as well look at Tom Brady rather than Donald Trump. That's all. I'm sorry. There may be others agree with me.
Somewhere there.
Well, no, Donald Trump thinks he's eye candy. That's kind of good. His hair looks like cotton candy. All right. So as you look at this situation, though, I mean, the one thing about what happened last week with Hillary Clinton is it's pretty shocking because what occurred with her is, you're right. It's a moment where they could have indicted her. Mm-hmm. And you had the director of the FBI sitting there in front of the Senate going, humming, 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 humming. Why didn't you do it? Well, it's horrifying when you stop and you think about what could have transpired.
Well, you had that meeting with Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton, and then you had what I didn't like, because knowing media cycles like we do, having been in the business, I didn't like how she was called in to give her testimony or deposition over the holiday weekend to suppress the news of that, because, I mean, why would you ever call somebody in on a holiday weekend?
Well, they wanted
to
get it on the record as fast as they could. Well, you
could have done it the week before, couldn't you? I mean, I don't understand that.
Well, they wanted it after the Clinton meeting on the tarmac, too.
Yeah.
And after the FBI made their decision. So they had to do it. Well, I guess it says, I think a lot of people now are giving Donald Trump a second look because of what happened to Hillary Clinton. And this is Donald Trump's moment to be able to stop and say, look at me, I'm going to say something. I stayed in his hotel last week, Congressman. In my hotel room, which is about the size of, you know, half the size of the studio we're sitting in, mm-hmm. there were 30 different Trump logos in one room.
Even in the wastebasket on the bottom.
Right, the bottom
think he wouldn't want that.
Right. At the bottom of the wastebasket. There's a Trump doily at the bottom of it. Anyway, the point is that I think this is a moment for him to you know, try to be seen as serious. And, he's been reading off the teleprompter and he's been trying to, you know, coalesce his thoughts. But, whew, man, I don't know. I'm still of the mind that there some other shoe may drop here. We'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, it could be interesting. It could be an interesting convention.
Yeah. All right, Congressman, thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Congressman.
It.
You bet. See you guys.
All right, there he goes, Congressman Adam Kinzinger. Right now, Violetta Pattermatic's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.